We're going to look at three challenges that will help us to live above your circumstance. Pretty challenging statement, isn't it? To live above our circumstance. So, I have a few opening questions. If you had the power to change your circumstance, would you? And if you could change a circumstance in your life, what would it be? Do you ever look at your circumstances and see that there is no way possible that God could do something good from that circumstance? What benefit could come from illness, unemployment, a broken family, a pandemic, loss of a loved one? Will God actually accomplish something good for us and for His glory out of these negative circumstances? We can't always understand God, but there's one thing that we can do and should do, and that is to trust Him as He works through the circumstance in our life. And we're going to look at Paul. All throughout Paul's epistles, he had negative circumstances. He had struggles. He had trials. And we're going to look at how he dealt with them and how the Lord transformed those negative circumstances into something positive in Paul's life and also for the glory of God. He was in prison for the cause of Christ when he wrote this epistle to the Philippians. And although Paul's imprisonment may have seemed to be the end of his ministry opportunities, God actually used it to further the gospel. And not only was he able to reach the Roman guards through his incarceration, but he was able to preach boldly while he was imprisoned. And we're going to look at some of the benefits of that. He was actually facing a death sentence. And Paul recognized this, whether he was executed or lived, it was just another chance to glorify God. How many of us could say, I'm ready to die for God because that's going to glorify, that's going to be a testimony for God and it's going to further His kingdom? Paul had that attitude. He was willing to accept his own execution to further the gospel. So we're going to see how his responses prove that it's possible in every circumstance to live in a manner that exalts Jesus Christ. So, the probing question, on what am I to focus when I'm going through this valley, this trial, this circumstance? When we view life from God's perspective, every hardship becomes an opportunity to trust His purpose, to fully depend on Him, and to respond in a manner that brings honor and glory to Him. So once again, first, I guess I can look down here, right? Okay, the three challenges for living above circumstances. Before we get into what we should do, I think it would be appropriate to answer a question, what shouldn't we do? Because a lot of times we have a tendency not to respond according to God's word, do we? So, what thing should we not do? The first challenge, I changed my outline a little bit, I apologize, but the first challenge is to focus on Christ and not the circumstance. And we're going to look at this passage a little bit in reverse order. We're going to start at verse 18 and then work our way up. But the first response is that we need to focus on Christ. It's easy to do sometimes. We're going through a valley. We lost a job, whatever the circumstance, and you say, okay, just focus on Christ. Well, yeah. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. And there's a way that we do that, and there's a proper response for that. But what should not we do? The first one is to escape. We have a tendency to run away from the negative circumstance, don't we? We have a tendency to cover it up. we have a tendency to look for other ways to deal with it rather than focusing on Christ. The world gives lots of opportunities for us to deal with something that's hurting, something that's negative in our life. They have tremendous ways to help us to ignore and to be distracted. Drugs, alcohol, material possessions, all these things we may have a tendency to use just to hope that that experience goes away. I want to get up to the cabin for the weekend. I'm going to forget about life. I'm just going to go up there and everything's going to be all right. But what happens when you get back on Monday morning? You can't escape it. You got to focus on Christ. Secondly, what we should not do is complain. Sometimes these experiences are tough. They're difficult. And we have a tendency to say, I just can't deal with it. This isn't fair. This is just too hard to deal with. Escape. Complain. My favorite is I like to blame. This isn't my fault. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? I'm a victim. This pandemic. We always want to blame someone. Whose fault is the pandemic? Trump's, right? Let's blame somebody. It's not our fault. I'm going through this situation and it's just not fair. So what is the answer? Of course, we need to focus our attention on Christ instead of the negative circumstance. In regarding the escape, there is a godly escape that we can turn to when we're having something that we're going through. A godly escape would be going in your closet, getting in prayer, reading the Word, meditating, and drawing closer to the Lord. That's the focus on Christ. That's an escape that we need to do, but we need to do it in a godly manner, not running and covering it up with all these other superficial, temporary things. But get in alone with God to deal with it. This is a godly type of escape. Does simply focusing on Christ, if we are going through a difficult situation, if we just focus on Christ, does that change the circumstance that we're in? Oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray and I'm going to search the Lord, but yet that circumstance is still going to be evident in our life. We have to acknowledge the fact that, yes, I'm going through this circumstance. I'm going to trust God, but I have to deal with it. And these are the three challenges that I'm going to give you this morning to help you deal with that. Can we do it on our own? What is our attitude? Let's look at Paul. Paul was imprisoned. There were threats on his life. He experienced a perilous trip to Rome. He was under house arrest. He was facing an impending trial before Caesar. But in spite of this, Paul rejoiced. Okay, if you're in Philippians, which I should be, I have it on my notes here. What was Paul's attitude? Well, we saw in verse 18 where he said, I therein do rejoice, and I will rejoice. But look at Philippians chapter 4. Flip back a couple pages. And we're going to start at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's the next word? Think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And now here's Paul's, he has the attitude, he's telling us to think on these things. But what was his circumstance? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to what? Suffer. Suffer. And then the famous verse, the powerful verse of on verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what was Paul's attitude? What was he thinking on? What was his heart attitude? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So when these circumstances come up, we need to dwell on these things. Focus on Christ. Focus on his word. Focus on these things that he's telling us to focus on. That's our heart attitude. And that's the attitude Paul had. Okay, now the subpoints I just want to mention. Okay. When we focus on Christ, he allows us to see our circumstances differently. Negative circumstances are also an opportunity. And negative circumstances are seen as a privilege rather than a burden. A privilege to be dealing with something so hurtful, so painful. Once again, Philippians, jump over to verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Are you willing to suffer for his sake? Notice in this passage that he puts together the two thoughts, our suffering and our salvation. They're not separate. They're one and the same. They affect one another. Our suffering is just as effective and as important as our relationship with Christ. Are you thankful that you know Christ and you have an opportunity and a privilege to suffer for his sake? Okay, moving on. The second challenge is to focus upon the sovereignty of God and not the will of man. And following verses 15 through 17, some time ago, took me months and months to prepare, but I did a study on the sovereignty of God. Very, very, very difficult subject to understand, but yet so simple. And we can see it in the situation that we are in right now. If we have a negative circumstance in our life and we reflect on the sovereignty of God, then we know that basically, the sovereignty of God is telling us that he is in control. But oft times, it seems that the will of man is in control of our circumstances. Do you find that sometimes in our walk? Sometimes we do things that we make the decision, we're making the calls. In this passage we're talking about here with Paul, it seemed that the will of man was causing all of Paul's hardships. What were some of the circumstances? We know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had incited a riot in the temple, and they blamed Paul for that, and that's why he was imprisoned. The Jewish leaders, they're the ones that desired for Paul's death and for him to be imprisoned. His opponents in this passage were preaching the gospel, what, to glorify God? No, to make things harder on Paul. They were kind of mocking Paul. They weren't preaching out of pure motives. All of these things had an effect on Paul's circumstance. But only that which is under the control of God can touch the believer. Now, ladies, well, fellas, I'm going to come to your defense. I know I got it here somewhere. How many times have you heard, throw that away, we don't need it, junk? And what do the fellows say? I might need that sometime. Who doesn't have a box of plumbing fittings with everything imaginable, and someday I know I'm going to need that, right? So I saved the pastor's handouts because I knew someday I might need it. Remember when he had us draw a circle? Here it is. He had us draw a circle, or the circle was drawn, and he said, put a dot in the middle. And he was calling us a peculiar people. We were God's precious possession. And he put that dot in there. And those of us that love God, those of us that follow God, we're right in the middle of that. Right? What happens when trials come? What happens when temptations come? They can only get into that circle because God is in control of our circumstances. When we come face to face with the problems, disasters, and tragedies of life, we need to remember that God is in control. Our lives are in His hand. If we are walking in fellowship with Him, if we're in the middle of that circle, if we're walking with Him in the middle of that circle, having fellowship with Him, nothing can touch us that God doesn't allow. We are His precious possession. And that's what happened to Paul right here. It was God's perfect will for Paul to be where he was. He was there for the purpose, in verse 17, of defending the gospel. But what other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel? Where you are right now, God may be calling you to defend the gospel. God also allowed the preaching of the gospel out of improper motives by Paul's enemies, but they were still under his control. Famous verse, many people claim this, many people use it as a like verse, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Paul was being brutally attacked, but it all turned out to be for Paul's good and for God's glory. The sovereignty of God. Okay. The third challenge is to focus on the positive results of the circumstances, not the personal pain. Easier said than done, isn't it? So how do we deal with pain? How do we deal with pain? It was mentioned on Wednesday night that we talked about death of loved ones and the trials that some of us are going through. What is the one thing that we all have in common to deal with pain? Hope. The hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a hope so that it might happen, that it's possible. It's the hope. It's definite. It's something that we can cling to. It's the hope that we have that God is in control of our circumstance. And we can rest in that. So the first positive result would be the promotion of the gospel. And we're going to jump up to verse 12. And it says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. It's an opportunity. Does this pandemic give us an opportunity to further the gospel? Probably more now than ever, does it not? People are fearful. People are they just can't deal with it. And it's an opportunity we have to further the gospel. It's an opportunity. When someone is going in through something and they're in pain, what are they looking for? They're looking for that hope. And we have it. We need to share it. And it will further God's kingdom. It will further the gospel. Now, next positive result is that it positively impacting the lives that would otherwise be impossible to touch. Look at verse 13. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of also of goodwill. The one preach of Christ of contention, not sincerely, and supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. That's not what I wanted. I wanted verse 13. Verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. It's an opportunity to reach out. Who did Paul have an opportunity to reach out while he was in prison? The Praetorian guards. Do you know who they were? They were the guards that were, their job was to protect Caesar. He had an opportunity to witness to the elite guards of the Roman Empire. And what happened? What was the result of that? Well, we know the result of that. Once again, turn back to Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verses 21 and 22. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. Verse 22, and all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. They were the guards that he had an opportunity to witness to. They got saved. Were they Paul's enemy? No. They were his mission field, and he witnessed to them. And he acknowledges that later in the book. They were not his enemy. And he witnessed to them, and they got saved. The big question is, whose life are you in a unique position to reach because of your circumstance? You ever think of that? When you're in a negative situation, things are hurting, things are bad. You know, God may be bringing that into your life so you have an opportunity to help someone else in that same situation. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Who comforts us in our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? It's called sharing a burden. A few years ago, we attended Bible Baptist Church, and that's where we got to meet Pastor Dave. Wonderful ministry there. They had a Christian school, Kramer Christian Academy. Our three daughters went there, and we went there because of the administrator of that time had a special gift in dealing with challenged students. So we sent Beth there, and Marcia Hubler was the administrator, and just a precious, precious relationship that she had with Beth. So throughout normal fellowship of sharing meals and games and things like that, Marcia invited us out to her house. And Bible Baptist plays this game. It's called Scum. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's similar to Rook, and it's a game that the church families would always get together and play. So she invited us and two other couples, the Bellows and the Landises. Wonderful couple, wonderful people. Didn't really know them that well, but it was a time to fellowship, get to know them. And we had a meal. I think she made lasagna. I remembered that. And we played the game, and then we just had a time of sharing. Marshall brought those three couples together because the Landis family lost their daughter, Stephanie, in a tragic car accident when she was 16. Matthew Bellows and his girlfriend were also killed. And they're the three of us families had a common trial, a common pain. I'd like to say that I have a special relationship with my sister, Donna. She lost her daughter, Joelle K. Hewlett. Her birthday was 2 days before mine. She was killed. That is something that we bond with. That's what Paul's talking about here, sharing a burden. And a circumstance that you're going through may be an opportunity to minister to someone else. Okay. Next, encouraging other believers. Verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Waxing confident. Didn't really know what that meant. When I hear waxing, I'm thinking of the Karate Kid and Mr. Miyagi. Wax on, wax off. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. But waxing confident. So one of the commentaries, allow me to read it, says, unbelievers in Rome had heard about Paul's message. In fact, they had come to understand clearly that Paul's imprisonment was entirely for the sake of the gospel. Paul was obviously was not a criminal. Not only had Paul been given to the chance to witness to unbelievers, but other Christians had gained confidence by seeing how Paul responded to his circumstances. Paul's captivity motivated Christians to share the gospel more boldly. If Paul could go to jail for his faith, other believers could take a bold, risky stand for their faith in Jesus as well. Waxing confident. Are you waxing confident? Ken mentioned Grace Community Church and Pastor John MacArthur. That waxes me confident. I'm just thinking, in the United States of America, in one of our 50 states, Christians and churches are being told they can't worship. They can't sing. They can't fellowship. Will that come to Sunbury, Pennsylvania? I don't know. It could. Are you going to wax confident and take the stand that they took? Are we willing to do that? Is that circumstance in their church, is that going to be an inspiration to our church if it has to take place? I hope so. But it's possible. They were waxing confident. It was an encouragement. Paul's fellow believers were encouraged to boldly stand and witness for Christ because of Paul's handling of his circumstance. Fellow believers should be encouraged by a brother or sister who is living above their circumstance. Do you know of anyone right now that's living above their circumstance? I can think of a handful right now in this church family that are going through some extreme trials. And that's an encouragement to me. They're living above their circumstances, and it's an encouragement to me. And lastly, did I do something? Am I good? Okay. The name of Jesus is lifted up. We sang verse 18, or hymn number 18. What was that? Let's just praise the Lord. The name of Jesus can be lifted up through this situation. It's true that there were some preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. Oh, yeah, let me read this. This is a different version. This isn't the King James or the New King James. I believe it's the NIV. Philippians verses 1, 15 through 18 says, it is true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the gospel. Those others do not have the pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached anyway. That's what happened there. They tried, they failed, the message was being preached. Christ was exalted and lifted up by the preaching of the brothers and sisters in Christ. So, my closing comment. Jesus is always honored as we show the world that he makes a difference in our lives regardless of the circumstance we find ourselves in. Let's pray.